This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com. On today's show, we are talking all about Stranger Things Season 4. It is Josh, Adam, and Nicole. Hey, hello there once again, everybody. Well, welcome back. It has been a while since we've been around talking about movies and TV and everything, and we're excited to be back. This is, if my calculations are correct, episode 128. And we are, again, we're talking all about Stranger Things Season 4. And Nicole, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
It is so wonderful to be back with you guys. I love hanging out with you guys here at From a Certain Point of View. And I'm so excited to finally talk Stranger Things. I mean, I've only been hounding you guys about this since volume one. And now now I'm excited that we're finally going to do a chit chat about Stranger Things.
Well, it's great having you.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Adam, what about you? What have you been doing? What have you been up to?
A lot. I'm pretty much the reason why we haven't done this for a while.
So, oh no, you're not the only reason.
Well, 95% of it then. But yeah, I've been busy. You know, we talked a little bit in the last show that I think we talked about it on the last show that, or maybe that's the one that we lost. I mean, we recorded one and then we lost it because of me. Again,
so there's a lost episode floating out there. Maybe it'll debut on Netflix sometime down the road or something.
The lost episode,
The Clone Wars lost episodes.
So yeah, I've been busy. I started the pastor thing and my church, and I've been working on the basement. You can see this is a bit of a new studio, new office that I'm in, and took a little trip out to see my brother in Jersey and Philly area. So, you know, busy.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, it's looking good, man. Looking good. Your space is looking good. You know, I went on my own vacation with the family to Disney World, and we went to Universal for a day, and Disney World parks for like three of the other days, and of course Galaxy's Edge and everything. In the Obi-Wan Kenobi review video I did, I showed everybody my new lightsaber, which is behind me in the video, if you're able to watch the video. And that is the Cal Kestis lightsaber. I was going to like light it up for this whole episode, but it makes so much noise that I got to figure out if I can disable the noise and keep it lit for a future episode. But yeah. And you know, I've just been enjoying the summer and everything, spending time with family and friends, but I'm glad to be back. Stranger Things is one of those shows for me that is really special. I love the 80s. I love, you know, Spielberg / Amblin style, you know, movies, you know, all those things. Stranger Things kind of fits into all that, and it's got great music, which we're going to talk about for this season too. So many things to love about this show. We waited 3 long years, and I think it was worth it.
It was.
This is when patience pays off. Mm-hmm. And if I interject, because you guys know I'm a chatterbox, you guys know how I am here.
Sure, go for it.
I think the thing is I think we gotten so used to the here and now. We want it now. We wanted it yesterday, and we have no patience. So when you all of a sudden have something like this in the works and finally it happens and it's wonderful and it's great, it's fantastic. It was worth the wait. And it's just kind of reminds you that some things are worth waiting for. This was one of them.
However,
However,
I'm going to chime in here. I'm
upside down.
I really don't want another 2-year wait. So I hope that there's some rumors swirling out there. They haven't confirmed any dates, but there's some rumors swirling out there that they won't be filming until next year, which means a 2-year wait until 2024 for season 5. And that will be, you know, I don't want that. I feel like it needs to happen sooner than that, but I don't know if it will.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we are going to have to wait 2 years. I mean, at least we're not going to have, the one good thing is we're not going to have to wait 3 years. But if you think about like the production quality behind Stranger Things, the running time for this season in particular,
the running time was insane.
It was like they made like almost 5 at least quality movies in
they did say that the running time for season 5 is not going to be,
it's not going to be as
on
long.
Par with season 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Currently, because they haven't yet to finish writing. Mm-hmm. So that could still change. And I'm okay if they surprise us with more. If it's like this, I'm okay with it. I just want them to end on a very high, the highest note that they can get us. I want it to be amazing and great. And
I'm okay with less. I mean, I think that this season had a lot of ends to tie together, and I feel like they came together really well at the end of volume 2. So we're not going to have all these different threads happening at the same time. It feels like, you know, the main characters are now back together in one spot. We're not going across the world or across the country. At least it doesn't feel like we will. So I don't think that there would need to be as much to get them all back together, you know, like we had to do this season.
Agreed. And we've kind of alluded to that this season dropped for the first time in 2 parts. We had volume 1 dropped on May 27th, and then the final 2 episodes on July 1st. I kind of liked that gap in time. It gave me, I'm kind of sometimes slow when it comes to watching things. Like I like to savor things and spread it out a little bit more. Plus I had vacation and everything. So it really gave me an opportunity to catch up with volume 1. And then I was pretty much ready right when volume 2 came out.
Yeah. I didn't actually watch volume 1 until the week of volume 2. And I didn't actually finish volume 1 until like the day of volume 2 came out. So, you know, I was still, it gave me time, you know, like it wasn't, and this is why I prefer the Disney Plus weekly format, but I'm okay with how Netflix handled this. I didn't have to worry about seeing a spoiler for the ending that whole month and a half, you know, before the ending actually dropped, you know. I didn't have to worry about what I saw on the internet because I didn't want to know if anybody died or anything like that. And I felt more comfortable, you know, being on the internet, not having to worry about spoilers, because I knew that, you know, there's no possible way that we would know that there would be spoilers out there until like July 4th weekend, which was okay with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was doing some math and some research, and it turns out that this season clocked in at over 13 hours.
It's insane.
just over 13 hours. And, It actually crossed the 1 billion hours watched mark on Netflix, and it's currently second only to Squid Game, which had around 1.6 billion hours watched, I believe.
I have not seen Squid Game, if I'm going to be honest.
I did watch it. It's good. It's good.
But
Stranger Things, of course. But
the one that really captured me, so I kind of hope that Stranger Things will surpass it in the long run. I'm hoping.
I hope so, too. And it's also certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with a 90% critic score and 89% user rating. So those are both very high, I think, well deserved. Mm-hmm. So what were your overall thoughts before we get into more specifics about season 4 and how it compared maybe to the other seasons and what your overall thoughts are about it? Adam, do you want to go first?
Sure. My general thoughts about this season are, you know, actually, I think that Stranger Things is in the very small handful of shows that just get better as it goes along. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite season to date. so far. I think that they nailed it. I said this to someone on Twitter. I actually think that they put Star Wars to shame this week.
Agreed.
Because they put together a 9-episode, 13-hour season that was just chock full of stuff. And a 2.5-hour season finale that, you know, was cinematic in scope and
feature never, length.
Feature length, and never left me. I didn't get bored in 2.5 hours. And I feel like Star Wars has been having some problems filling up a 45-minute show lately. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be. They shouldn't have that problem. They're Star Wars. I mean, come on. They shouldn't have that problem. But the Duffer brothers and everybody involved in this season just hit it out of the park. And I absolutely loved Volume 4.
I agree. Nicole, what were your overall thoughts?
I have to piggyback.
Piggyback, nice reference.
Piggyback there. Off yeah. of Adam here. I agree. I loved this season. It's hard to say because it's like I loved each season, but they're for different, I don't know. They're just each unique and they come together. And this is really bringing it all together. I have to, again, piggyback off of Adam's wording here. And that is in comparison to our Star Wars. You know, yes, I love it, but the Duffer Brothers, in my perspective, or my from a certain point of view, really hit it out of the park. They were a home run for me personally. You know, I've seen a few people not really like it, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? It's not going to be for everybody.
No, right? But, yeah.
You know, I'm like, dude, they proved this can be done. This can be excellent, and it was just wonderful. I loved, and I know we'll get deeper into this. I loved all of, again, each season of Stranger Things has beautiful nods to various music and also to various 80s movies, including Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So you know that there is a beautiful nod to Star Wars. You know, they really mm-hmm. do honor in a way, but even this season, it was definitely more Stranger Things than it was nods. So, and I thought that really spoke volumes. So.
They almost nod better to Star Wars than Star Wars nods to Star Wars sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Ewoks. I'm like, I'm trying to like hold back because there's so many cool things that happened in this volume one and volume two of season four that I'm just like, wow. I'm still wowed. And here's how I know that I liked something, okay? I go back and I rewatch it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I have yet to do that with another particular latest Star Wars show. I will keep quiet on at the moment, but I have already gone back and rewatched all the Stranger Things because I was invested. It captured my attention, the music and the performance, and proved it can be done. And it was absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful. Yeah, I watched every episode except for the finale twice, and I plan on watching the finale again. I would go as far as to say that not only is this my favorite season of Stranger Things, it might be my favorite season of TV ever. It is to me like the new Star Wars for me. I mean, it's created its own mythology, especially mm-hmm. in this season. It deepened that mythology, and we got so many answers to questions specific to the Upside Down while still leaving some questions for season five. I thought it was so well structured, mm-hmm. You know, from beginning to end. There were so many strong episodes and moments in this season. You know, for me, it's one of my favorite seasons of a show ever. So yeah. Any favorite aspects or moments that you guys had from this season? Like, do you want to name a few moments that really stood out to you, or, you know, things about it that really spoke to you?
Go ahead,
Nicole. Go ahead. You look like you're ready.
I was like, I got all excited. I'm like, okay, I have to. And I feel like I'm jumping the gun because I know we're going to talk about it. Okay. One of my favorite parts, at least from volume two, not necessarily volume one, but volume two. Okay, I absolutely love Eddie. And that mm-hmm. guitar moment, that beautiful ode to Chrissy, The song was perfect, right? It was Metallica, it was Puppet Master. And I would like to make a special note here because I think this is important. That song was not only important for him, but it was also important to the storyline. Think about it. Vecna is
kind of the puppet master,
right? And I picked up on that, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember watching that and going, I had already seen the image. And so I've been waiting for this moment. And I thought, you know, what's it going to be like? One, at that point, I didn't know how amazing and great Eddie was going to be. And I absolutely love him. I would love for them to take that actor and make him a young Eddie Van Halen or put him in any rock star movie, because I think he would be phenomenal. But getting back to that scene, but that music was perfectly timed. And I mean, it was just perfect. And it just, it was everything I wanted. I expect that he, you know, spoiler warning, he dies. Which was really, actually was very sad. I was like, no!
That was rough.
So many things. Hopper they finally got together. The kissing scene, the kissing moment. Yes, 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 it's about time. It was just so good. There's just so many good moments in this show. I just, like Eleven doing her, I mean, you want to talk about, look, comparison to Star Wars. You know, that moment when she reached up to Vecna, right? And so she turns him around like that, so he faces her. And I was like, you go, girl. Let's go. Like, I was so excited. I was pumped. Yeah. And I was like, I could not believe, one, she did it. Two, it was just the coolest thing. Like, and then, absolutely. There's so many moments. Max, the Max moment from volume one. Oh, my God. See, I could steal them all from you guys. Because this is so many moments. That moment, again, I know we're going to talk about music later because thankfully we have that, because we have to talk about the music. But that moment, that perfectly timed music with from Dear Billy. I know that the gravestone got switched at some point. Anyways, it's just so powerful and so amazing. See, I can go on and on. I told you guys, I'm just a chatterbox. I could talk about these moments all night long, and just the moments alone and the music.
Those are some good moments that you mentioned there for sure.
I'll just share just a few, because if not, I will just steal them all.
Adam.
So I'll throw it back to you guys.
I think just seeing how this season was kind of woven together, especially with, you know, finding out who Vecna really was and, you know, why we were getting so many flashbacks and what the whole story was with one. And, you know, I really thought that was an excellently told story. And, you know, not very often in shows like that, you know, in a reveal, you know, kind of like one is Vecna, you know, I'm not really taken aback, but this time I was like, no crap. I was like, really? And it made sense, and it was just really well told. So I think that's probably one of my favorite moments. But then there's also a bunch of other, you know, some of the humor was back, and it was really good. Stranger Things humor is excellent. You know, Nicole mentioned the new characters. I grew to love Eddie pretty early. It took me a little bit on Argyle for Argyle to grow on me, but Argyle really did start to grow on me later in the show.
Yeah, I loved all the stuff. I will echo what you said, Adam, with the Vecna stuff and one and everything. And I kind of did see that coming. I you know, but I was still like really pleased of how it went, because, you know, I realized that the actor that was playing that orderly, you know, in Hawkins' lab and everything, I watched a behind the scenes thing, and I knew he was in the Vecna suit. So I was like, oh, I bet he somehow is Vecna and is number one.
Neither did I.
So I kind of put those pieces together, but
I did still see love him it, you know? Doing some of that Vecna voice without like voice changers or anything. And I don't know that he did that the whole way through, but I'm just
right
that he did that at all was pretty cool.
That's impressive. And Nicole, to echo what you said, I love the Dear Billy episode. I think that's one of the best episodes in the season. And you know, we'll talk about the music and everything in a little bit with that scene. For me, there were so many moments that I loved. And one of the things I really loved was just the epic feel of this season. And a lot of that came from kind of these moments and these speeches from different characters for me. You know, Dustin talking to Eddie about how Hawkins is cursed. And I think it was in like the second episode, maybe. I really loved that. And I loved in the third episode when, and I think it was the third episode when, is it Paul Reiser or Paul Reese?
No, sorry, Reese, Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser, his character goes to Eleven and gives this speech about her. It's up to her and they need her. And that I loved that. Mm-hmm. Like that just felt so epic to me. And just got me pumped up and like excited. There were just so many moments I loved. That I'm sure we'll get into more of them. But were there any that weren't mentioned that you guys wanted to talk about at all?
I would like to mention Chrissy. Her look was based off of, or I heard was inspired by, from Greece and from, you know, from Sandy.
I could see that.
And yeah. I love Chrissy. And I really feel like we got two really cool new characters. I mean, we had some really good, you know, bullies in there too. I mean, but that's why we love them. It's not that you do disrespect them. But Chrissy, though, was a really cool, interesting character. Of course, she didn't make it. But at the same time, she did bring a lot for the little time that she was in the show. She had an impact. And that moment between her and Eddie, like, it humanized him in a way that just made you go, oh my gosh, you're a marshmallow. You just want to hug him. You just like, you realize that there is so much more behind that, the Hellfire shirt that he wore, right, for Dungeons and Dragons. Like, there was so much more behind that, those eyes and the smile, and you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And this is why, you know, girls like me, you know, we're like, oh, you're just so cute, you know. But but at the same time, he wasn't like that, because like for the guys, it's like they put him off, or he had just enough of a bad look to get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And really, he wasn't like that. And I loved that scene with them in the forest when they were talking. And he's like, are you sure you want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, you know, but he was willing. He was willing to listen to her and talk to her. And I just loved that. Got to mention the Eleven and Hopper moment, guys. I cannot believe I didn't mention earlier. You know, I mentioned Joyce and Hopper kissing, but I'm like, oh my gosh, there is that other moment, though, where she finally gets to see him. Finally.
Yeah, so. that part, and when she talked about how she left the door open 3 inches and everything, and I started choking up, like, that really got me, you know. I absolutely love that.
Again, they had a lot of bullies in this series, this in volume one and two.
They were really rough.
When Mike came out to visit her spring break, they're at the roller rink. And I'm like, I was waiting for her to go full on Carrie. I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. We're going to get it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, no, she wasn't ready yet. You know what I mean? She wasn't ready to get that full power back. She wasn't back to herself yet. That confidence level that she needed to be in her skin, I guess, so to speak. But I was like waiting. I'm like, boy, I was waiting for it, because I thought she was really going to go full on Carrie. And then it's like she wanted to, but yet she couldn't. But that was quite the moment, too. And boy, the actors and actresses who played the various bullies really did a good job, because you really didn't like them, you know. Yeah. So kudos, because you know, when you hit Umbridge level, for me, that's saying a lot. You know, I always give kudos out to those who can play a really good person, because, you know, you hate the character, but at the same time you love the character because the person who betrayed it did so well, you know.
Yeah, they did such a good job at making you dislike them.
Right. And that really captivated you. And then for me, again, I was like, come on, girl, let's do this. This looks like pulled on carrot. Let's do this. And then
I almost thought it was even more disturbing that she hit her in the face with that roller skate and like her nose like cracked open and the blood and everything. Like that was a very disturbing thing to me. Like I was like, oh my God, like this is awful. I think this season really leaned into like what I liked a lot about this season was it leaning into the horror aspects. And you know, the haunted house feel with the Creel house.
I love that.
I really loved that about this season. I thought that was fantastic.
Vibes. I loved it.
Yeah. And talking about one thing I forgot to mention was I really liked seeing, trying to think now, Steve and Nancy, the rekindling of their relationship, because I've always kind of shipped those two characters. And you know, so I really like seeing now. I'm shipping them all the way. But
yeah, I did like seeing them get back together a little bit. Yeah. You know, and I hope that continues, to be honest. Like I like Jonathan as well, but I feel like they've drifted a little bit here, but I
did love Nancy Steve. And Jonathan's relationship earlier in the show. But I love this arc with Steve and where his character has gone and then them kind of interacting more in this season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know, but in real life, the characters of Jonathan and Nancy in real life, the actor and actresses they're actually dating.
That's
a real thing. Huh. And here, if you look at some behind the scenes footage and photos, you can see where they're together. So it's really interesting. And you can almost see that other chemistry of what's real and versus what is worth seeing. And I'm really curious. It's so hard because, again, they did tease possibly Steve maybe, and it was rumored that he might be killed off, which I would have been really sad.
I was nervous about that,
I'm kind of curious if they, you know, I've heard people say, well, you did know he did mention his whole future there, and maybe that will be reason enough for them to take it away, mm-hmm. you know, because he's mm-hmm. now mentioned it, maybe they'll take it away, and maybe that's why she would end up with Jonathan versus him, because I did not like Steve at the beginning. However, he has had amazing character growth over the seasons. He has done a phenomenal job in the character growth, and I absolutely love Steve. And it's interesting, he mentioned six kids, and yet look at the six kids he's already been looking after this mm-hmm. time. Like, he's been there more than their parents have been.
Yeah. He made a comment like, it's not like I haven't had the practice type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Steve has become my favorite character on this show, for sure. And speaking of like characters, let's talk a little bit about the cast and the performances of the returning cast, the new characters, like we mentioned Argyle and Eddie, Vecna. There was also Jason and the Dimitri character in Russia and everything, who was the prison guard. Yuri. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So any standout performances from the returning characters, or, you know, did you have a favorite new character, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, favorite new character for me has to be Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just,
I agree.
Yeah, just because he grew so much on me almost at the very beginning, and you know, by the end with how he goes out and how that all played out, you know, that was just really an awesome new character. Stranger Things does a really good job of bringing in new interesting characters you know, through each season. So yeah, for me, definitely favorite would be Eddie. As far as like the returning cast, I kind of probably have to go back to Steve. I think this was a great Steve season,
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes. I feel like maybe Joyce took a bit of a backseat this season.
Slightly.
A little bit.
So I was a little disappointed in that, because I do really love Joyce as a character. So I was a little disappointed, that her story didn't give her a little more to do. I think that about covers it for me.
Nicole?
All right. Well, again, I already mentioned Eddie. He's definitely one of my new favorites. Again, kudos to Chrissy. Kudos to those who played the bullies. I'm trying to remember their names at the moment, but I'm drawing a blank and I should have taken time to write down on my notes, but I did not take time. Actually, I want to mention something though about those who played the bullies against, I'm drawing a blank. They're the jocks. They're the basketball team.
Oh,
I think Jason was kind of the leader of
because it kind of, there was a moment when I've rewatched it and I was just kind of drawing on real life, right? And I'm like, you have Eddie, who people look at and stereotyped him and went, oh, he's the bad guy. He's the bad dude. He's the rebel without a cause. He's, because he's in the Hellfire Club, yada, 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 he's the bad guy. And in reality, it was Jace, this other guy who was really the bad guy. And, he kind of, he's trying to play on the good boy thing, and he wasn't pure of heart. And it made me think about real life and sometimes how people can be like that, or how I've met people like that, where it's been like, it's interesting because people who are sometimes even non-believers have been nicer to me than some people who are believers.
Yeah.
Drew on that for me personally, so I want to mention that. Returning cast. Okay. One, I believe each character had a defining moment. I think they were all unique and brought something to the table. Max, in that moment when she, that Kate Bush running up the hill, that whole episode, fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Max is great. 11, again, that moment with Vecna, when she turned him around, the way she really gets close to Max without Max being there. Again, and even the young 11, I can't remember the young actress's name, but there was a younger 11 that played 11. When they're, that interaction, Vecna, man, Henry, that was a good, mm-hmm. Again, he's actually new. Technically new. Yep. So, but very kudos to that. I feel like everyone had a moment. Even Nancy, man, just hand it to me. She is the type of person, she will go down with a ship. She is mm-hmm. that type of character. And I love her. I love that about her. The same with, I'm trying to think, when they went to go see Henry's dad, that was another mm-hmm. cool. We'll talk about, again, that moment where they just went and did it. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. Erica, again, telling Eddie off, man, told him off and then told the bullies off. I felt like they each had a moment that really shined. For me, the one that I felt that took a backseat, but I think they did this on purpose, and we will get close. We will talk more about him later. I'm sure we will. And that is with Will. Yeah. I think this season, while he didn't, I think that a few key moments for him was in that van when he was talking to, why am I drawing blanks tonight?
Mike,
why? Mm-hmm. I wrote this down and I did it. They're talking to Mike, and that whole moment, he really shined over when he was talking to his brother Jonathan later. I think they had, those were his moments. And I know my niece, she commented that she was really, wasn't happy that he didn't have more time. And I said, mm-hmm. I think he's coming. I think there's a reason why. I think that there's more coming, which I know we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later. But even Will, I thought, had a few moments where he shined, or that actor who played mm-hmm. Will shined. Yep.
Will, I mean, I felt like, I do feel like Will got kind of shortchanged a little bit in this season, but I do agree that he's going to have a bigger role in the next one. I felt like there were times I questioned his performance a little bit, though, in the season. But then I thought, on the other hand, he had some strong moments, too. And I love how this show is really showing the struggle within Will and what he's facing. And you know, the way he's explaining Elle and her being so different to Mike, but he's really talking about himself at the same time, because he feels so different and, you know, feels like he's some kind of mistake or something like that, you know. And his feelings for Mike are pretty clear to me as well. And I think they've done a really nice job of how they've written his dialogue, those struggles that he's having and everything.
Well, and I feel like he might be additionally conflicted, just because look at all the stuff he's been through, like since the beginning of the first season. Like, he was gone from his family, gone from his friends. And then the next year, he's got slugs coming out of his mouth, and he's still dealing with it. And now we're here to season four, and I'm like, and then that tip ending happens, and I go,
That.
I knew, like, I just knew it. And, of course, when I told my niece, hey, they're going to probably have him more at the forefront, I'm hearing this already, she was excited. But it's just like, he's just got so much conflict within him. But again, the way he portrayed it was just it was good.
Yeah. And I think what this season did, because of its running time, it allowed so much room to breathe with the characters, so much character development in this season, so much time with each of these characters, like you said, time for each of them to shine. For me, I felt like the ones that really stole the season for me was definitely Sadie Sink as Max. I think she did a phenomenal job in this season with her own struggles with Billy and kind of blaming herself in a way and all that guilt she was feeling, which made her vulnerable to Vecna in the first place. And, you know, what happened to her at the end was horrific, too. We'll probably talk about in a minute. But Elle, I thought, was great. You know, I thought Millie Bobby Brown did a great job as Elle once again with her struggles. You know, Steve really stood out to me, as I mentioned before. And you said Nancy. I thought Nancy was terrific. Absolutely loved her in this season. She really took charge of everything. She was an absolute, like, badass, like, strong female character. Loved it. As far as the new characters go, yeah, definitely, you know, definitely Eddie was a standout to me, and Henry as well, and Henry / Vecna. So
yes,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, this show has become really like an ensemble cast type of show, and moving into like the plot here, so. We have all these characters, and what are we going to do with them? There basically were three major storylines, but then that kind of turned into a fourth major storyline, because originally we kind of had, you know, the California storyline, we had the Hawkins storyline, we had the Russia storyline, but then Elle kind of goes off on her own path, and we investigate a lot of her past and everything like that. So there were four major storylines. The characters were set. It felt like Empire Strikes Back in a lot of ways to me. I mean, our characters were separated. There were revelations about the villain and the identity of the villain.
I could see that. Yep.
You know, so I felt like some of those comparisons were there. And we spent a whole lot more time in the Upside Down, which I really liked. And again, I mentioned earlier that kind of that horror / haunted house type of feel. So there were a lot of things going on with this plot. Do you guys have any thoughts about any of those things I just mentioned, or anything about the plot that I didn't mention?
I didn't love the Russia storyline. I think that was probably the weakest for me. I felt like, I don't even know how to put this. Like, I felt like the Russia part last season was going somewhere a little bit differently. This just kind of seemed like it was a little bit of a hurdle for Hopper and Joyce to get through. For me, I think that was probably the weakest part of the storylines. really dug L's storyline this season. A lot of revelations, like you said, about her, and I like digging back into that, seeing, you know, kind of piecing this together as we went, you know, getting these flashbacks. We didn't quite know what that was. You know, was she responsible for all this chaos and carnage? And then you kind of get more revelations and see how it all ties together. And I thought that that was really, really well done. So that might have actually been my favorite of the storylines this time, I think.
I loved her kind of self-discovery through her memories that, you know, she thought when she, in the audience too, when we saw that first image of her, like thinking that she killed all those kids and everything, she was the monster. But then she discovers by the end that actually she wasn't the monster. I think that was just terrific. So well done. Yeah. Nicole, any thoughts about the plot this season?
Okay, so I have to point this out because I think it's so neat. In the poster, it was set in 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so
there's a lot to that number 4 in this season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they were telling us ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They were like, they gave us the warning. 4 for season 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 plot lines. Four different adventures for season 4, which was very creative and unique. I agree with you guys about Eleven and her, again, this her refining herself, finding out she was not the monster, finding out more about Henry and how she's connected to him, even her and Papa. Oh, that was a moment too. Whoo!
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see her finding herself. But again, it felt like that's what kept happening with all of the characters. They were finding themselves, which is what we do as teenagers, right? We're trying to find out who we are, what defined us. Do we want to be popular? Do we not want to be popular? Are we okay with just being the geek or the nerd or, you know, or are we, you know, or what are we hiding from? And I think that was also a very big plot line that they all had to deal with, just in different variations and perspectives. And that was really interesting to me. I really liked that because, again, even Will, you could see him again, like we were talking about already, that he's, you know, that those inner demons that he's dealing with, or not trying to figure out are we a thing or are we not a thing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that. About young love, even at when you're young, is how do I handle this? What am I doing? And those adventures. I'm assuming we're going to do dislikes later, so I will save that for later. One thing that's nice, but I did like seeing Dustin and Eddie come together and form a friendship. You know, usually it's always Dustin and Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve, it was Steve and 6 kids, and Steve thankfully did not get overly jealous. But even Steve is still growing up. Again, each character really, really just kind of continued to find themselves and who they are and what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was important. Yeah. Probably a plot line problem, maybe not everyone noticed, but I know I noticed. You know what I mean? Like, okay, they're all kind of going through the same thing, but different.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. I felt like there was a lot of self-discovery in this season, as you mentioned. And I actually, like, I'll tell you what, while I do think there was, like, maybe one weaker plot line in this season, I really loved all of them. I was really invested in all the plot lines. Like, you know, sometimes I'll watch, like, maybe, like, the Two Towers or something like that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not as interested in this storyline. I was really interested in all of them. For me, the weakest for me was probably the California storyline with like Mike and Will and Argyle and Jonathan. Uh-huh. Maybe it was just because there was a little too much getting high in the van type of thing going on, and maybe that was my issue. But I think my
favorite. No purple palm tree delight for you?
No, not too much. But to each their own. That's cool. But yeah, like I was most intrigued by the Nancy and Steve Hawkins storyline and all those characters and what they were dealing with, because here's a bunch of kids that are just being brave. They have no powers to speak of. They're diving headfirst, and Steve literally dove into the upside down. And they're like, okay, you know, we don't have L here. We have to take this into our own hands. We have to take Vecna down. Nobody else is going to believe us. We have to do this on our own. To me, that was the most compelling storyline. But I did love, like Adam mentioned, all the stuff with L, and the way that was weaved, and the way everything revealed itself, I thought was brilliant. And the Russia plot line, while it, I think it, to, for me, it took a little bit of time to resolve that. I thought Hopper and company would have been back in Hawkins maybe a little bit sooner, but it did end up tying into the upside down and the Demogorgons and the Mind Flayer. And so it did have that connection. And, you know, in the end, taking out that Demogorgon did kind of help with the other stuff that was going on.
I laugh all the time. I might have mentioned this when Black Widow came out, but it reminded me again in Stranger Things on before. You know, Black Widow happened, right? And Hopper, sorry, the Red Guardian is there, right? And Black Widow as the death. And he comes, I'm like, oh, that's how he got out of Russia. I had but here we are again. We're back in Russia. They're saving him from the prison in Russia. And then I'm like, oh, but he's being reunited with his adopted daughter.
Yeah, Natasha Romanoff
is his adopted daughter. And I just like, seriously. What a parallel to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the actor has been in Russia now several times, and he's being reunited with his daughters in just in various ways. So, and thanks to the actor, because he did a great job as Hopper to obviously, you know, vary enough to not be both the Red Guardian and Hopper. But I did have to have a good laugh when I was like, seriously, he's being saved from the prison again? Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, he went through a radical physical transformation in this season as well. Just being, you know,
in comparison to the Black
how much
Widow,
weight he lost and everything. Yeah.
Yes. Holy cow! I was like, what?
Yeah.
Now he could really go back and be the what thing was with the Red Guardian.
Yeah, he can fit into that suit now.
Red suit now.
Well, let's talk about the music. We've talked a lot about the plot. So some really iconic songs from the 80s in this season. I mean, we had the reiteration of Journey's Separate Ways that was in the trailer, which I loved because that's my favorite song of all time. But then it also ended up in one of the episodes too, which I was really excited about. We had Running Up That Hill, you know, in the Dear Billy episode, which was so powerful. And then we had Master of Puppets in the finale with Eddie and everything. So what did you guys think of the music and everything for this season? Because they always have some great music in these episodes.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, I'm already over here rocking out. So I absolutely loved the music. The soundtrack on this series was on par. It was chef's kiss. It was perfect. Again, I mentioned Masters of Puppets when Metallica came on. Oh my gosh, not only is this perfect for Eddie, not only is this a perfect ode to Chrissy, but it was also a thing with Vecna. You could tell, you know, again, the Puppet Master. Of course, I love Journey. Separate Ways just lives in my heart. It just, it's always in my something that I've always loved growing up. But Kate Bush, I got because this is one 80s star I actually had not heard of. More because, because she was gay. And so this song got to be recognized not only by our generation, but like several generations down below us and above us. And that was amazing. And she did something basically what Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody did for Wayne's World. That is that it became number one again.
Yeah, that's incredible.
She better this time around. In the first time, like I even went back and I discovered she'd done Running Up the Hill one time live with Pink Floyd. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my mind blew away. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, she performed with Pink Floyd. But that moment, and then it was also put in the trailer too, and it was included a little bit in Vine too. And kudos, congratulations to Kate Bush because she did something that, again, that only a few songs really have been able to do. You know, I Will Always Love You from Dolly and then Whitney Houston, or again, Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen because it was number one once, but then Wayne's World came back out in a whole new generation, and now Kate Bush has done it. And they, again, good job to Duffer Brothers and all the editors, all those researchers that went and found all that music that would just go perfectly in sync. And, you know, I love it when not only a song moves us, right? It makes us, you know, either cheer for the person, you know, pulls our heartstrings, makes us cry, or, you know, but when you also have it, when it's also in step perfectly, it's even better. So I just felt like they really mastered that. And I'm hoping that's happening next season because
And
it was so.
I think these three songs in particular that we talked about, also when you look at the lyrics, they really connect to the story that's being told and the timing in which they're using it and everything. So it's just a very impressive. Adam, any other thoughts about the music?
No, I love the Separate Ways remix. I did find out that I'm not a huge Kate Bush fan, which is okay. I think it fits really well as a soundtrack piece, and I think that the scenes that it's in work well. I've tried to listen to it a little bit outside of the show, and I just found out that I'm not a huge Kate Bush fan, which is fine.
That is fine. That's fine.
But like I said, I think it fit pretty very very well. You know, especially the music, it felt really like a soundtrack piece. But yeah, the Metallica and the Separate Ways, I really dug those.
Yeah, for sure. So, before we move on to the great pineapple debate, do you guys have any negatives from this season? And anything that, you know, really you could have done without that you felt like kept the season maybe from being a perfect 10 for you or anything like that?
I mean, like I said, for me, I feel like the Russia part was just a little wacky sometimes, you know, especially with what's his face, the conspiracy guy, and then with Yuri, I just feel like that got a little bit silly. So that wasn't my favorite. So I think some of those parts, and but like you said, it did tie in with the Demogorgon, and that was cool and all that. But I think getting up to that point just took a long time, and some of it just didn't tonally work for me the whole way through. So I think that would probably be my main part that I wasn't super thrilled with. I did have some trouble with Argyle in the beginning. Garrett, and we're gonna probably talk about him here pretty soon with the pineapple thing. But I did have some trouble getting warmed up to him as a character. It did happen, like I said before, but it took a while for him. Argyle took a while.
I would echo that as well. Yeah, that character took a while to grow on me, and I don't know if he even fully grew on me yet or not, but I'm still deciding.
I
He
think
grew
by
on
the,
me.
yeah, he by the end, I'm an Argyle fan now. But it took 7 episodes, to get there, you know. So.
I think the diff okay, I'm gonna say this, and this is all, no disrespect to Argyle, but I think with Eddie and Chrissy, there was a just the charisma was different. There was something about Eddie and even about Chrissy that captured you, right? And he captured your attention. You were eyes up, man. You were looking right at him. And Argyle, like, it wasn't that he just didn't have the same type of charm. You know, sometimes some actors and actresses, when they're put, you know, can pull out that charisma, that charm that really captivates you. And I think that's why I didn't warm up to him as fast. I liked him, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, it's Argyle. No, you know, I'm still all about Eddie. And so, but again, eventually he did, but it was just, I guess maybe that's what they wanted him to do. You know, maybe they didn't want him to be the center of attention. So it was as of now. That might change next season. So maybe they wanted him to kind of play the, you know, again, a major, a support of a support, you know what I mean? So
yep.
Maybe.
Yeah. It might change my dudes, you know? So yeah. When he started saying my dudes, he kind of grew on me.
Yeah. I like that a little bit more.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah, I felt like, again, I loved this entire season. I would probably give it a 10. I do feel like if there was a weak storyline, it was the one involving California and Argyle and everything, just a little bit. But still, I you know, I didn't have any major issues with this season. I really, really loved it.
I think there's only one thing I would love to have them to have improved on or to expanded on into volume two that was in volume one. And that is Susie. Even if they would have.
Yeah, she just kind of had that one episode, right. that one moment. Yeah.
Right. She was there and she was great, right? But it would have been even better that if in volume two, they would have at least mentioned her, or Destin would have mentioned her. Because I know in last season, one of my favorite moments was Destin and Susie singing Never Ending Story. Like, I almost started singing Never Ending Story just now to see this. And I love that. It was one of my favorite moments. And I love seeing Susie again. And then when volume two happened, I'm like, okay, no Susie, no mention of Susie. Why do we have no mention of Susie here? Like, she would have been perfect. At least even a mention, or him talking to her over the, you know, over the phone or something, or the intercom, something that would have just kind of put them, glue them, you know what I mean, together, cemented that. That would have been nice, because I don't know, there was just something like, or even, hey, by the way, your girlfriend, Susie, she's awesome. She helped us out. Dude.
It would have been like a little mention. Like a dialogue.
And again, some people might think it's a major nitpick, but dude, when that is one of my only like major nitpicks, again, I love
it. Makes sense. I mean, like, I don't mind her just having the one episode, you know. I feel like she's kind of set up as that like lifeline thing, you know, kind of like in season three. That's kind of the way she was. She was mentioned the whole way through, and then finally you get her at the end. But I agree that I think that there should have been a little bit more dialogue, including her in volume two.
I can see that, certainly. So now that we got our negatives out of the way, one thing that I just couldn't get over was the fact that the Great Pineapple Debate, which I'm calling it, I don't know if you guys call it that, but, it made its way into the Stranger Things 4 finale.
Maybe this is where Argyle grew on me, my dude.
Maybe it is, because he enjoys some pineapple on his pizza. Yeah. And I was blown away by, I'm like, are they listening to our whole debate or something like that? But what's that?
Is Cam in with the Duffer Brothers?
He might be. Who knows? But yeah, we get this scene where, of course, he Argyle makes a pizza at the other, what's that? What is the pizza place called?
Surf's Up.
I know that Surf something.
So he puts pineapple on the pizza, and I think it was Mike that was like very unsure about having pineapple on the pizza. He was kind of like Cam in this scenario. Surfer Boy Pizza. And
they have t-shirts already, by the way.
That's awesome. So Adam, how much were you laughing when you saw this scene?
I wasn't laughing too much. I was more waiting to see where Argyle fell on this, and then once I realized that he was with me,
he's all right now.
He became my dude. Yeah,
he's one of your dudes now.
Yeah, he's my dude.
Yeah, so I just thought that was hilarious. I wanted to put that into our show this evening.
We're best bro chachos now.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
So, you know, personally, I'm not gonna typically order pineapple on my pizza, but if somebody had pineapple on and ham on pizza and I could have a slice, I probably would eat it, you know. So
Right, the Hawaiian
I
pizza.
order it. I order it whenever I can. I love Hawaiian pizza. It's the best pizza.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but
Nope,
I
I
do
will.
respect your
It's the
enjoyment of it.
best pizza.
So, what are our thoughts on the finale? I felt like, man, it was epic. There were some epic battles. We had a loss of a couple characters. This was almost like an Infinity War scenario. Well, the villain succeeded in his plan. Yeah, I mean, he went away bruised and everything, and just narrowly escaping. But ultimately, he succeeded, and it involved the number four again. You know, there were four gates and four kills, four victims. Max did die, and you know, she was brought back and everything. But yeah, I don't know. Just any thoughts about the finale and the way things turned out in the end.
I mean, it's a brave move to put out a 2.5 hour episode of a show. And I think it just absolutely paid off in spades. And I mean, just a 2.5 hour episode. I mean, that just feels like, I feel like they could have done a 2.5 hour season, and I think that it was, we still would have loved it, but they did a 2.5 hour episode and had eight other episodes on top of that, and just unreal. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And it's just, it's impressive. It's impressive. I loved it. I was engaged the entire time. I will watch it again for sure. And you know, it's just perfectly well done. I give all the props in the world to the Duffer brothers and everyone involved.
Nicole.
Oh my gosh, I'm with Adam on this. I didn't even feel the length. I didn't even feel like it was 2.5 hours. I
Yep,
was
me
entertained.
neither.
I was engaged. I loved it. I was sad when the whole thing with Max happened. I was sad with Eddie. And then when Max came back, I was like, oh, you know, and now I'm kind of like, okay, where are we going with this?
Right.
And there's still even a little bit of, I don't want to say confusion, but I'm very curious to how they're going to work this out. That's because when Eleven, you know, walked in and saw Max in the hospital bed and kind of was like, wait, what? And
Yeah.
I'm still kind of curious if there's a moment that we're not going to see until next season that happened maybe on that in between, that maybe she had saw her fully up and moving versus this moment now where she's seeing her in the hospital bed. But no, so good. That finale, I just so much excitement, and at the same time, it's like, okay, Vecna, you might have won this battle, but you did not win the war. And you can kind of feel that. You know, even to that ending with Will, which, oh, I know, I hope, I'm assuming we're going to be talking about Will soon, or a little bit more about Will within predictions for the next season. That just, again, chef's kiss. I just loved it. I just loved it. Moment. I was gobbling it up.
Yeah, I think this season finale was really lived up to the build-up. I thought it really delivered. I thought they nailed the landing. I loved the kind of weaving of all the different battles that were going on at the end. I mean, Hopper freaking picks up a sword and cuts the Demogorgon's head off. Like, that was an unreal. I was like so excited to see him pick up a sword, first of all. I was like, this is epic. And you know, the whole thing with Elle and Vecna, and then you had, you know, of course, Will and Nancy, and was it Robin too, that were on their mission. And an interesting thing about their plan was, I think it had four phases as well. So I think four was in there again. So I think there were like four phases to their plan, maybe. I could be wrong.
No, I
But
do believe you're correct. There was four phases.
yeah, and I just love this finale. I was literally like cringing with every bone that was snapping in Max's body. I really felt that. I really, you know, it was powerful in a horrible way. I think Dustin's reaction to Eddie
The Eddie, yeah.
dying really got me.
Oh, and then he's
And
talking to Dad.
yeah.
Oh my gosh, talk about a
Yeah.
moment.
Yeah, and then Lucas's reaction to what happened to Max really hit hard too.
And Elle's
So
reaction to Max,
yeah,
which was really cool how that was done with, Elle looking at this, through, the like the isolation thing that she does, and being there with Max and Lucas at the same time. That was really, really cool.
So I mean, I think they absolutely nailed it. And the villain got the win here. I mean, I think, and again, I think that's another thing that makes it similar to Empire Strikes Back and like sort of a middle act, was that, the villain kind of succeeded in his plan, and now there's this big gate, with Hawkins in the Upside Down. So I don't know what kind of stuff's going to happen in season five. So any final thoughts or predictions at all going into the
Since you brought
final
up
season?
Star Wars a little bit there, I feel bad. I don't want to just drag Star Wars, but like going back to the finale, I feel like it says a lot about the state of these two franchises that we're kind of asking Star Wars to just make a 2-hour movie out of some of the shows that they've been doing lately, like Kenobi and Boba Fett. We're asking them to do what Stranger Things did in one episode, but then Stranger Things had 10 hours of content beyond just that for the season, and they're filling it up and they're making it really good. And to me, it's the state of things for both of these franchises, where I feel like Stranger Things is just hitting on all cylinders, even after 4 years now, and it's really impressive. So.
I think to me, this might be the difference. I think in the situation with Stranger Things, you have the Duffer brothers who are, and they've said this in documentaries and behind this in interviews and stuff like that. Like, they're committed to creating what their vision is for this story. They've had a plan about where the story is going, beginning to end. Of course, they deviate and things change based on characters and what happens and everything. But they have kind of a plan, and it's they started fresh with a clean slate and a whole new type of universe, that they created, and they're invested in, they're bringing their heart and quality work into this show, where you have a show like Obi-Wan, where you're trying to shoehorn stuff into this timeline and meet these people's expectations and these people's ex and they're kind of tying their own hands, they have their own hands kind of, I don't know. I think for Star Wars to succeed like this, you have to have somebody who has a vision, starting with a clean slate that's in Star Wars, but not like directly connected to other characters we know and everything. And, people that are committed to bring that vision to life, I guess. I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. But I agree, Adam, like Stranger Things 4 quickly made me forget about Obi-Wan, and I was very excited about Obi-Wan, and I even enjoyed it, but Stranger Things just blew it out of the water for me.
Same. I have to go back to a moment, but at the same time, maybe we'll get more in season five. We had a very special moment. Again, this show, Stranger Things, did a great job this season. Doing beautiful nods, but at the same time keeping its own, from anything from Silence of the Lambs with a Chianti to, I'm trying to remember the girl's name, but she did a 16 by Candles look, and then there was just different things. But we also have the actor from Walking Dead play Henry's dad, and that moment of Robin and Nancy talking to him in the cell. Again, I say the Chianti because that was from Joyce, and I remember as soon as she said it, I'm like, oh my God, it's Silence of the Lambs. And again, when they were downstairs, when Nancy and them were downstairs walking down that hall, I got Silence of the Lamb vibes. And then to see that actor from Walking Dead, I was like, what? And his eyes the way they were, I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm kind of curious if we will get any more of him in season five. Is that a prediction? I don't know. Just something I would like to kind of see. As well, I will. I have to talk about it. One quick note. Shanti was supposed to be with us here tonight, and she brought this up. So I'm going to bring it up because this is her thought, but then I'm going to throw out my own. She had said she thinks Will is like a Horcrux, kind of like equal to.
That was a good thought, Chantal, and I hope.
Yeah, she's very connected.
I hope she's feeling. I hope Chantal is feeling better, by the way. And
yeah,
just having her, but that was a great, great thought. Yeah.
Yeah. But my thinking, one, I see her point and perspective, and I actually appreciate it. Part of me wonders if Will's going to go evil, or if he's going to go kind of go double agent. You know, go bad enough to kind of help to take down Vecna. You know, will he gain any powers? I'm also curious if we'll see number 8 return from one of the previous seasons. She is still out there. We do know they've already said for the most part, we're going to be in Hawkins next time. They're kind of going back to how it was in season 1. Mm-hmm. And then a major kudos moment. I don't know if you guys saw the news today or maybe it was yesterday. And that is, of course, the Duffer Brothers have added on to the Upside Down Productions. Mm-hmm. And that they're going to spin off of Stranger Things. And they're going to be creating more. And so I'm very excited for them. And congratulations to them. Because that is quite the triumph. Which makes me sad because maybe now we won't get them to direct a Star Wars movie or a show. But that's because I think God's got them placed doing something else. I think they really just have something very special. I think the Duffer Brothers are really molding out their own names, their own legends at this point, you know, in our time, in our history, in our TV history. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that too, because that's pretty cool. Because now that we know that there's going to be a spinoff, it's kind of curious as to where could that lead? Who could it be? So many things that are possible. And part of me just wants to kind of sit back and enjoy. You know, part of me wants to like not do too many predictions, because again, kind of going in, if we have enough time for me, other than my jokes about, oh, that's how we found Hopper in Russia. Up to that, I mean, other to that first trailer, I was like, I was, you know, blown away. And I think that was the other things, because I had like high expectations, but at the same time, I didn't have like a lot of predictions. So I was able to be surprised over and over and over again, and willing to open my mind to it. And I hope it happens again. That's my only thing. I just hope that number 5, season 5, ends up on a high note. I really do. I want it to be amazing. That's why the other thing I'm like going, if they take time to make sure that writing is pristine and how it should be and all the connections are there. And, you know, I don't want to end us on a weak season. I want them to end on the best note for each of these characters that we've all grown to love. You know, it's like we have been on this journey with them. And I think that's how we want to. And I think we all want to end on a really good note, because if it leaves us sour, we're not going to want to watch the spinoff. We're not going to watch these other ones. So I think I just want that wonderful adventure just one more time, you know?
Yep. I think my only prediction is that it's going to be awesome. They haven't let me down yet. I have no reason to think that they're going to do it now. So I'm just going to enjoy it.
I will say, for my final thoughts, that like, as I was watching this season, I was like, especially, you know, when I was finished with it, I was like, I don't know how they're going to top this. I think it's going to be incredibly tough for them to top what they did in this season, because I think it was near perfection. But I do trust that they're going to deliver a great final season. I know it's really important to them that they do finish this in a strong way. I think some things that we know about season 5 already, just from things I've heard from the Duffer Brothers or wherever, this, as Adam mentioned too, this season's going to be a little bit shorter in length at this point in time. It's going to be centered in Hawkins. I think, Nicole, you mentioned that all of our characters are going to be together again instead of separate like they were in this season. I think we're going to – what's that? Yeah, separate ways. Exactly. And I think that we're going to learn more about the Upside Down and its origins probably. And you got something, Nicole?
I just had something that came to my brain. Okay, you guys, we're going to sing Journey. Everybody, get into your song for Separate Ways, okay? Okay, here we go. This is gonna be a moment. My brain just did a Millie Brown thing, like, woo. So in the lyrics, Separate Ways, you know, they're going their separate ways, but if he ever hurts you, true love will find you. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Yeah.
He is Vecna, and love will find you, and that is them being together, and that is their love. Even friendship can be like that. And I don't know, my brain goes, what? That song just means even more. It means even more. I don't know if Journey ever thought that this would ever be turned into a Stranger Things thing.
Probably not.
That this could be more than just about romantic love, but about friendship love and your friends, becoming your friends becoming your family. But it just occurred to me that mm-hmm. if he ever hurts you, true love won't desert you, mm-hmm. and I will find you. You even if we're separate ways, and here they are, and they came back together. You know, even in their separate ways, and. Mm-hmm. He might hurt them, but guess what? They're going to be together. And it worked out. Oh, wow. Okay, this is one you just, I love it. We talked about the music once, but now my brain's like, I can't believe this. Like, how much I've already analyzed this, and my brain's still like grading, realizing things. Yeah, kudos mm-hmm. to the editors, those who picked the music. Good job, Duffer Brothers. All that staff just needs, like, just let them have a vacation. Let them enjoy and come back and refresh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, like we said at the beginning, well worth the 3-year wait. I think they really delivered a great season, and I think they'll deliver a great final season. I'm thinking it is going to be 2 years from now. I hope it's in the summer again. I hope summer 2024 is what I'm looking at, I hope.
Yeah.
I think Will. I think Will's going to be a big part in it too, and I think he's going to be almost a. There's going to be some advantages to his connection with the Mind Flayer, or Vecna. I think that he might be the key to, you know, figuring out how to take Vecna out. So,
I'm curious.
Those are my thoughts.
I wonder if we'll get any more Dungeons and Dragons like. Creatures and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if we'll see a new one. That would be kind of neat.
Good question. So we will see. But I'll tell you what, I had a great time talking about this season of Stranger. I've been waiting to have this conversation, Nicole. I know you have too, and Adam. I think this was a great conversation, and I can't wait to go back and rewatch this season again, and wait for season 5. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for an awesome chat.
And Nicole, go ahead and plug Rogue One and everything else you're working on.
Yes, so I'm Nicole of Rogue One Radio. I'm one third of Rogue One Radio with my co-host Steve and DJ. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Oh, I recently slightly rebranded to Peace Love Fandoms because I love fandoms. I love Star Wars. I love, Stranger Things, Harry Potter, all those really good things. But my real name is Nicole, and you can find me again, Rogue One Radio, also again on Twitter and Instagram. Peace, love, fandoms.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us,
Nicole.
This is always good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.